Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Two oil powers meet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Ever since oil prices hit a record high above $78 last week, those prices have been sliding back. This morning, oil is trading below $72 a barrel. But what's happening in Russia today has big potential to move the markets. Iraq's oil minister is in Moscow to meet with his Russian counterpart, and he'll also meet with executives from a big Russian oil company. As Lisa Napoli reports, this bargaining table is loaded with history.
The Iraqis still owe the Russians about $10 billion for arms they bought back in the 80s. And the Russians want their hands on Iraq's untapped West Qurna field, said to hold 16 billion barrels of oil. A 10-year-old deal Lukoil had struck to run it was scuttled at the start of the war. Tom Wallen of Energy Intelligence says now the Russians may be thinking,
we'll forgive your debt if you give us back access to this oil field that was taken away before.
Of course, nothing involving oil or Iraq is quite so simple. Even if the two nations could come to terms, and that's a big if, Severin Borenstein of the University of California Energy Institute says,
I don't think that these sorts of financial deals are where the problem is. The problem is the security in Iraq.
If Lukoil does get a foothold in West Qurna, at least one U.S. company stands to gain. ConocoPhillips owns 20% of the Russian oil giant. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Wall Street is on a three-day winning streak. Yesterday, the Dow shot up 153 points to 13,657. The Nasdaq gained 51 to 2612. The S&P 500 climbed 20 points to 1497. The Asian markets added 1% today, but European stocks are down about 1% so far. Today's a national holiday in South Africa. It's Women's Day. Women are a big part of Africa's informal economy. They make up 80% of subsistence farmers and food traders. But women generally don't have a place to put what little money they earn. One group hopes to change that by opening a women's bank. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
The Pan-African Women's Bank won't be a slick corporate firm. It'll be more like a co-op devoted to women who've never had access to formal banking services.
Our women, they don't have the criteria that the big banks are looking at. Like, they don't even have the payslip.
That's Cindy Dostile, a microfinance specialist who hopes to launch the bank by 2010. She says it'll empower women by providing microloans and teaching them about business. But a more basic need is a bank where uneducated rural women feel safe storing their money, even as little as $2 a month.
Because saving, it's the answer to poverty.
Since some customers will be illiterate, founders hope to use photos and thumbprint recognition technology instead of a lot of complicated forms. In the next 3 years, their goal is to raise at least $2 million in private capital. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
The rock band Pearl Jam is pretty upset with AT&T. A web content person at AT&T cut out portions of a Pearl Jam concert broadcast on the internet. The lyrics said something about President Bush. This was part of a Lollapalooza concert sponsored by AT&T. The company says the censorship was a mistake. The band believes this points out the need for net neutrality, so broadband providers don't have so much control over content.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Wall Street is now paying the price for backing risky mortgages. Investment banks like Bear Stearns are taking a big hit. This week, Wall Street was hoping the Federal Reserve would come to the rescue, start lowering interest rates, help steady the up and down markets. But the Fed didn't touch interest rates. It wasn't really very sympathetic. No, the Fed was more worried about inflation than the subprime mess. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Chris, what'd you think of the Fed's response?
Well, my initial reaction was, what planet is the Fed from? They're worried about inflation. For the past 4 months, the inflation numbers have been coming down. I mean, come on. What are they talking about? Inflation. What inflation? But then I settled down and I thought, you know, I actually kind of like this Ben squeeze. I think this is the Ben squeeze.
Ben Bernanke squeeze?
Ben Bernanke squeeze. And what he's doing is he's saying, you know what, Bear Stearns, your investment bank, you guys made millions and millions of dollars last year. I'm not going to bail you out. I'm not going to bail out Wall Street.
Hmm. So you think the Fed is taking a stand here instead of caving in to Wall Street pressure and lowering interest rates and making things all better?
And, you know, I think that what the Fed is just simply saying is, you know, we've gone through this long period of time where investment bankers made all this money ignoring risk and we had all this cheap money out there. Well, now, you know, the bill's coming due. And you believe in markets? You believe in free markets? Hey, the Fed believes in free markets.
But, Chris, while the courage of the Fed here is admirable, let's say.
Okay.
Can the Fed really afford to back off this much and let the markets crumble?
I think so, and for two reasons. The first reason, corporate balance sheets are very strong. Mm-hmm. Companies have a lot of cash. So that's one safety valve. The other safety valve is the global economy. The global economy is growing strong. If you look at the recent earnings season we went through, Scott, corporate earnings, the Standard & Poor's 500 companies, they were, you know, they were decent. Well, in fact, they're decent to good. But the reason why they were decent to good was not what was going on here in the U.S., is because what was happening overseas and the sales that they were making overseas. So I think that those two factors are giving the Fed a little bit of confidence to stand firm. This nonsense about inflation, I mean, basically, it's just all nonsense. I think it's they just can't say what they're really doing, which is let's let the market work. Lenders have gotten too careless. So we're going to sit back and we're going to just let some of these loans go bad. We're going to let some people go belly up. And we don't think the credit squeeze will turn into a credit crunch.
All right. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.